the text then and give to me to grab people's attention. Oh my gosh. Hey y'all, good morning. I'm just grateful y'all gotta go to, hey! To God be the glory. Good morning. My name is Adobe Nduka. I serve as a community impact pastor here at Mill City. Man, welcome. If you're joining us for the first time, hey! How y'all doing? Y'all look good. We're just glad that you're worshiping with us here today, so we are glad that you're joining us. We are in the third week of celebrating Advent, which means arrival, and we are going to do something distinct this Advent season, and we will be celebrating three arrivals of Jesus. Yes, you heard me right, yeah. Three arrivals. We're going to be celebrating that. And so the first arrival is the first coming of Jesus in the physical body. The second arrival is the second coming of Jesus as the Spirit who lives in our midst, in our everyday spaces, and help us to join in what God is already doing in the world. And then the third advent, which is the future coming of Jesus, returning as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, making all things new. So we'll be going into that. So let us pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you for the joy you bring to our lives. Open up our hearts to listen to what the Spirit is saying to us today and empower us to step out and live out your word in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. In church history, celebrating Christmas through Advent has often been about all three Advents or arrivals, even though we tend to focus on the first. So as we celebrate Advent leading up to Christmas, we celebrate to remember the first arrival, we celebrate to watch and live in the second arrival, and we celebrate in longing for the future arrival. So since we're in the third week, our focus is going to be how Jesus brings joy. Isn't it a blessing to watch the children worship today, y'all? Oh, my God. My heart, let me tell you, I love it. I love how little ones lead the grown-ups in worship. It is a joy to witness and to participate in. These are the moments in Christmas season that reminds us that God coming to earth brought a deeper opportunity for joy than ever before. It's not just in the season of Advent that we long for joy, however, but throughout our lives. And in a world where there is so much brokenness, we tend to look for happiness and excitement, thinking that that will last. We tend to look at circumstances, people, things to make us happy. Yet joy is what we genuinely and truly seek. Jesus came to the earth to bring joy only made possible by his Spirit. And that is something that's a gift that he is willing to give to us, not for us to earn or try to strive for. Let us start by reading the joy experienced in the first Advent. If you have your Bibles, either a digital one or a physical one, please turn to Luke 2, verses 8 through 18. And if you don't have your Bible, that's cool, child, that's cool. We're going to have it on the screen, and I'll be reading from the NIV. So we're going to read that. Let me turn my Bible. Okay. Luke 2, verses 8 through 18. And it reads, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was laying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. What a powerful word of declaration by this angel. To not be afraid, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. We all know that most of the news that we are given are the opposite, right? Bad news that brings great fear for all people. If you're on social media, everything is all about trying to get a reaction from us. Clickbait. However, the news that the angel shared is just as true today as it was with the lowly shepherds in the field. In the first advent, the angel appeared to the shepherds, who were the last group people would ever think would hear this good news first. The shepherds were not well thought of. They were not the classy people of society. And yet, God saw it fit to allow this angel to appear to them and give them the good news, and for them to witness this host of angels singing and praising God. What an amazing thing. And for them, they were in shock, and then they ran to go see what the Lord has told them about this Jesus, about this Lord. The promise of the Messiah was said to the serpent in the presence of Adam and Eve. The promise of the Messiah was not even said to Eve. It was not even said to Adam, but it was said to the serpent in the presence of Adam and Eve. And this promise was that there would be one who will crush the head of the serpent, one who would disempower the enemy of God. And then generation after generation after generation keep waiting for this promise to manifest. No one knew when it would happen, only that they believe in the person, in the God who made that promise. When it finally happens, of course, there was joy and excitement. For the angels, they were excited that this promise-keeping God, his promise has been manifested on earth. God demonstrated definitely that he is a promise keeper. And the natural response to seeing God's promises is to worship. Now, that was the first arrival. The future arrival of Jesus is seen in the book of Revelation. In the passage that I'm going to read today, we'll see how the story kind of echoes, how Luke 2 kind of echoes this vision that we're going to see in the future arrival of Jesus. Now, revelation means an unveiling, a way that God reveals something happening in the spirit realm. God revealed this vision to John, one of Jesus' disciples, and told him to write it all down. The book of Revelation is deeply symbolic to help us understand something deeper, not meant to be taken literally. And to get resources on Revelation, how to study it and how to read it, please go to the Hub. We have our resources there on our blog. So we're going to read, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 to 12. We'll look at that. Turn right into it. Revelation 7, verses 9 through 12. So it reads, after this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Now, let me pause here. When John was given this vision, He was isolated and exiled on an island because he was being persecuted for being a Jesus follower. This vision must have given him so much encouragement, for he knows in this vision that Jesus, who he had witnessed suffer with them and suffered for them, was enthroned and being worshiped, even as John is going through his hardship in the present time. Also, what is a powerful image for John, a Jewish believer, is to see all the people, the great magnitude that cannot even be counted, coming from all, every single nation, speaking all different languages, coming from different tribes, worshiping God together as Lord and Savior. Jesus is seeing the commission that Jesus gave his disciples in this vision in Acts 1, verses 8. And this is the commission that Jesus gave them after he rose from the dead, before he ascended to heaven. This was the commission he gave them. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes to you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And John is watching this happen in the future. Man, our God is a wonder. He's going through persecution because of his witness, and God is giving him a vision like, hey, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. To give him hope that his suffering is not for naught. Man, that's a wonder. Can you imagine God giving you that kind of vision? Child? I'll be in tears. I'll be acting a whole fool, okay? I don't know how to behave myself. So let's continue in verse 11 here. And it keeps on and it says, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Child, that's a lot of ands. You hear me? Our God is huge. We need the ands. We need the commas. God is not just one thing, you know? I love that. Can you even imagine? Let's just imagine what we just read, y'all. In the future arrival of Jesus, a great multitude that no one can count, from different nations, different tribes, different people, speaking different languages, will stand before the throne and the Lamb, praising and worshiping God. And the angels will be praising and worshiping God as well. Y'all, that's dope. First, there's a host of angels praising God and worshiping God in the first arrival. And second, you see people who were witnesses. Now, in the first arrival, it was just only a few shepherds who were just shocked, like, okay, what's happening? And then they're going out and saying what the angels told them. And then now future arrival, there are witnesses, and they're there praising God. There's human involvement in all of this. And thirdly, it is not a small thing that there are people from every culture in the world praising and worshiping God in their own language together. Now, here in Mill City, we have what we call One Church Sunday, where we worship together with Espiritu Santo, which is a Spanish-speaking church community. We take turns in singing worship in English and in Spanish. So, you know, me in my head, I'm like, okay, Lord, but every language and every tribe, or is everybody taking turns? Is everybody singing together? How does that sound? Like, seriously, I'm just like, I am just wondering. But it would be cool, though, because it seems like they were singing all in harmony. They were all singing in one voice. And don't get it twisted. They're not singing in English now. Huh? No. There's all different languages, but seeing this in harmony, what a wonderful miracle to witness that. And for God to bask in that worship and in that praise of all his people. No matter how you praise, no matter your language and how you worship him, he still receives that. As we look back at the first arrival of Jesus in the Christmas story, and as we look forward to it, we'll see a couple things in common. First, that God is a promise keeper. The Messiah came as a baby, and as we see in the vision in the great multitude, that everyone actually comes to worship and praise him. Secondly, that heavenly hosts are praising and worshiping God for what he is doing on the earth, both in the first arrival and in the future arrival as well. And thirdly, they are human witnesses. In the first, the shepherds are there ensuring what the angels told them. However, in the future, you have a great multitude of people from all nations being witness of what God has done in their lives. They are not witness of what was told to them. They're saying, hey, I know this God for myself. This is not he, she, sees it. I have witnessed this goodness and faithfulness of God. The second coming of Jesus is him coming in spirit to be in and live in amongst us in our everyday life to join God's work in the world. In the first arrival of Jesus, we see angels filled with great joy because of God's salvation, and they responded in worship. In the future arrival of Jesus, we see humans from every nation and a host of angels filled with great joy because of God's salvation, and they responded in worship. While we live in the second arrival of Jesus, which is his spirit coming in our midst every day, what does it look like to respond with joy and worship while we wait for his future arrival? The Apostle Paul wrote to both Jew and Gentile believers in Thessalonians, letting them know what the followers of Jesus need to do while they wait for the future arrival of Jesus. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, it says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Having the Spirit in us help us to live with joy despite our circumstances. Now, I'm not talking about spiritual bypassing, which is the tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to sidestep or avoid facing difficult emotions. That's not what I'm talking about, y'all. I'm talking about a genuine joy in Christ Jesus, which is a gift from his Spirit. As believers, joy is a deep-seated sense of contentment and well-being that comes from a relationship with God. It's a lasting emotion that's different from happiness, which is often tied to external circumstances. Joy is a result of the Holy Spirit and intimacy with God, and is cultivated through a deliberate focus on God's faithfulness and goodness. We see throughout Scripture that joy is something God gives us by the power of his Spirit. In Romans 14, verse 17, Paul was writing and defined the kingdom of God, saying, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23, describing the fruit of the Spirit. And it says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So I wonder if we have our hearts open to receive the joy that Jesus is willing to give us. This year has been a hard year for many of us, and I get that. But the goodness is this. We don't have to try hard to receive that joy. Here at Mill City, we believe it's not a matter of trying harder, but surrendering more. Also, this is not only about us, is it? This is a world full of brokenness that needs to know that there is a God who keeps his promises. The pain and suffering so many people have experienced will be healed when Jesus returns to restore all things. This goodness should give us great joy if we're willing to receive it and if we're willing to share it with those that God has placed in our lives. What we see in both the first arrival and the future arrival of Jesus is that worship and joy go hand in hand. The choice to worship in the midst of hard times is a spiritual discipline that can be a pathway to receive God's joy. In fact, this is why we have our Blue Christmas worship service this Wednesday. It's to give space to process our difficult emotions and bring them to a loving God, that we can begin to have space in our hearts for God's joy, which is a gift and a byproduct of having His Spirit. So here's an invitation I have for you today. In the spirit of prayer, would you consider the following this season? Surrender your heart to God in a renewed way. Let God's Spirit attend to your broken heart. God made your heart, and if it's broken, He can fix it. But now you have to surrender, let Him fix it His way. You can't tell God how to fix your heart. You didn't make your heart. He put it together. He's the engineer. So let Him fix it, but His way. Second, ask God for the joy that comes from His Spirit and pray for an openness to receive it, because we all have free will. God cannot force joy on you. You have to be willing to open and receive it. And finally, choose to respond in worship. As you wait for the Spirit to bring you joy, worship the promise keeper. This is the response we see in the first and future arrival. And it's an invitation for all of us as we wait for Jesus to return. We can worship God because we know we are not alone. The Spirit of Emmanuel is with us and in us. So as we go into our final time of worship today, we need to remember that worship reminds us who God is and reminds us who we are because of what God has promised and what God has done. Worship anchors us in Jesus, and that can help our hearts be ready to receive the joy Jesus gives. Worship reminds us that His name is the highest. His name is the greatest. His name stands above all of them all. The final arrival, the first arrival, had an angel announcing the arrival of baby Jesus to the shepherds. And the angels respond in worship. As we wait on the future arrival of Jesus, with the living Spirit in us, we are able to come and worship God and let Him give us joy. Because in worshiping Him, we align our perspective and then make our God bigger than what our circumstances is screaming out at us. So I pray and give you this invitation to please, with boldness, with tears, with courage, please step into and worship Him anyhow. And just believe that He's a promise keeper, that joy will come. It will come. In Jesus' name.